Today we're talking about Christian relationships. We're going to be specifically on friendships, most predominantly. Okay? Relationships are important for believers and should be chosen carefully, especially friendships. And this should reflect your relationships, should reflect both your personal and spiritual goals. Okay, so there's a need to honor God in all our connections, whether they are friendships, whether they are romantic partnerships, whether they are family bonds or mentoring relationships. It is vital to understand how relationships, number one, form, how they grow, and how they can be wisely guided. How they form, how they grow, and how they can be wisely guided. Now, when it comes to friendships, you must appreciate that there is a dynamic of friendships whereby they work in cycles or circles. Okay? They work in cycles. Now, as an individual grows and passes through different life phases, even their friendships will change. Okay? Your friendships will change, not this, when your goals change. The friendships when I was young, I'm talking about early primary school, where people played with football. People played with duru. Some of you don't know what duru is. One of the best sports ever made. I don't know why it has never entered into. That thing was nice. Would go and miss the whole day when we are playing what? Duru is a Greek word. So that at that level, relationships were that. Your friends in primary school, they're not really, they are friends around your hobbies. Okay? But as you grow and your goals change, your relationships change. As your values, as your perceptions of life evolve, naturally your relationships too are going to evolve. Your friendships too are going to evolve. Some of us, our friends in high school are not our friends now, isn't it? Some because you became bad, sometimes because your goals changed, your values changed. Okay? It is a natural evolution. It is not a failure of relationships. Amen. So, when you part of growing, part of being very deliberate about your life is putting priority in your life. You need to have priorities for your life. And these priorities on your life, which priorities can be defined by your values. These priorities for your life will define and dictate how you go about your friendships. We have different things in our lives. We have different things in our life. We have different relationships in our lives. And these relationships do not rank the same, even though they are all relationships which deserve attention, isn't it? You know, in Luke 14:26, Jesus said a very strange statement. In fact, if Summer found this one, she would make for us another video. In Luke 14:26, Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, if he does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and even his own life, that person cannot be my disciple." Wanji? Oh, yes. So somebody can read this and say, what? But really what is happening here is the usage of the word hate actually comes from Semitic expression. You find it even in the Old Testament. Yahweh speaking through the prophet Hosea when he says, "Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. The word does not mean a dislike. In biblical language, it speaks of an expression of preference. It's preference. Okay? So you can say, Jacob loved Rachel but hated Leah. It means he preferred Rachel to Leah. Okay? So that word just means preference. So when Jesus says, unless you hate your father, unless you hate your mother, unless you hate your brothers, unless you hate your sisters, even your life, you cannot be my disciple. What it's saying is, being a disciple of Jesus takes precedence over any relationship in our life. And you need to write that. Being a disciple of Jesus takes precedence even over the closest family ties. Guys, this is not extreme. This is basic discipleship Christianity. I don't put my siblings, my natural siblings, above my discipleship responsibility. So I don't think I've ever missed a service for a family event. That's just me. It's just basic discipleship 101. I will deal with the family thing after church. For some of you who know me closely, if I'm going to do a service like Sunday morning, I can't pick a phone call from home. So, as a disciple, it just means my relationship to Jesus has a higher priority over every relationship, even my wife, even my son, even my daughter. Is that radical? That's basic discipleship. I mean, this is what Jesus says. Did you read it? Luke 14:26. Everybody, let's read together. If everybody comes to me and does not hate, or you want to use hate, is hate better? You go and tell your son, I hate you because of Jesus. Don't you see? So if anyone comes to me and does not prefer me to his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, over even their own life, he cannot be my. Yeah, that's worship. That Yahweh is first priority over every other thing. Amen. So, we love him more. So, that only means that in my relationships, there's a priority list, and God is priority number one. Then the others follow. Amen? It doesn't mean I neglect the other relationships, but it means I must be disciplined and conscious that all the different relationships have different responsibilities, but there is a hierarchy. There is what? Someone say, my father told me that I stop praying. Apostle, what should I do? If any pastor asks me that, I just tell them, you stop praying. Because by the time you're asking me, it means, how can your father stop you from praying? Who is there? Me who is telling you my father has stopped me for years. And guess what? I didn't stop. So if I did stop, I wouldn't be here. Let me stick to friendship. It's becoming very quiet. So, choosing friends with purpose. So again, I define, this is people who are seeking to make friends. Don't be there typing on WhatsApp, fake friends, some of my friends. Please. Me, I don't have fake friends. Because if you're fake, you won't be my friend. And I am not political about it. The person who said,
Apostle Gutoina emotions. I said I'm actually an emotional person, but I'm also very rational. Right? I'm emotional. Sometimes people think I am not.
But many times we become too emotional with things that need reasoning. Again, I'm not saying divorce your emotions. So, everybody, when you're going to make critical relationships, you start with your priorities, you start with your goals, you start with your values. Then you select or you admit, the word is admit, you admit who fits those goals and those priorities. Now, every relationship in your life does not carry the same weight. For instance, there are people I'm acquainted to. We chill, we hang out, and we chill when I meet them. That relationship is not priority. They don't know intimate things about my life. They say about men. Men can be, you can do things with someone for 2 years without knowing their name. Guys do that. You just go to watch football, you find other people watching, you guys hit it off. We are there discussing, and women are wondering, how are these guys so comfortable with each other? One day I went to watch football some years back for the guy that we were watching the same place. We were talking, he talked about Pasa. Next thing I know, I'm going to his home, we are playing video games. I didn't know his name. We are playing. I never mind. He was a Kali man, Kali. A guy will show up with someone you have never met. Hey, Polo, this is this guy. Hey, guy, what's up? What's it? There's a guy. He's actually, I won't mention his name. He's a footballer on the national team of this country. And I was at his home. And the guy said, hey, Polo, come on. Let's go to this guy's home. We play FIFA. Hey, okay, we go. I reach there. I said, this is so-and-so. This is a footballer in this nation. We are there playing. At lunchtime, they are serving us food. Hey, we're all cool. We are talking. Hey, guys. Hey, next Saturday. Hey, next Saturday. Next Saturday, we are taken. Until I don't think he even knows my name. I don't think even if he saw me, he'd be like, I'll just tell him, hey, I've ever come to your home to play pastor. I say, oh. Now, I can't go and I start telling you that guy is my friend. But that's a mistake we make. That one is what? He's not my friend. We are acquainted. We came around something we agree on, right? Yeah. Sometimes men, we are simple like that. Okay. So, I must first of all define my values, my perceptions, and my life direction. I have a trainer who is a Muslim. My gym instructor is a Muslim. Nice guy. and we are cool. But we're not friends. But there is a relationship. Relationship. We're chatting. The other day, hey, even added me to their fantasy group. Now, of course, ladies don't know what I'm talking about. He added me to one of their fantasy group, their Premier League fantasy group. And last year, I was winning money from their group. That group, they give you money every week when you win. Yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it is well. It's just an example. There are those people who have understood the example. So, but that's a relationship, right? But that's not a friendship. I cannot come here, Polo, come on Saturday, and I have a cell group, and I'm saying, ha, let me come. Now I cancel the cell group to go and be with those people. I can't do that. Okay? This guy, I belong to a boxing club. They have their fights late on Saturday night. I told them, you guys, your fights are late. I can't do this again. I did it only once. I told them, I can't come back. You can't fight at 11 p.m. At 11 p.m., I'm supposed to be chewing in bed. Right? He says, I can't come back. You know why? I'm prioritizing. I have a relationship with God, which I have to work up in the morning too.
So I prioritize that over this other relationship. There's a relationship there with those people, but if I'm making decisions, I'm prioritizing going to bed early, waking up in the morning, preparing, and being in the service. That is priority. Because that's what? My value. Okay? That's my life direction. So Sunday morning, whatever activity they do, I told them I cannot be there on Sunday morning. I can never be there. I told them I can never be there. Not in this life or the one to come. Sunday, I'm at church. They say, okay. Respect it. Tuesday evenings, they can call. They know Tuesday evening I do church. So every program you arrange Tuesday evening, I can't be there. That's what. Values first. Priorities first. So it doesn't mean that these people who don't do church with me, we cannot have a relationship. We can have a relationship. It's just that the priorities, the values, what I exchange in that relationship will vary. Get it? Okay. You have friends at work. Friends or relationships at work. Work relationships have their own boundaries. They have their own, you know. So this prioritization helps you, especially as you adult. You realize time is very expensive. Every day, my wife and I are saying how days are running. Days are running, but for these young people, I don't think days are running. These ones who are still doing school, they feel like they can't wait to leave secondary school. So they feel like days are slow. The rest of us were saying in September, oh my God, it is already Friday. So you have time, you have a tight schedule, and then you have to carefully allocate time to those different things. If you are the one every week you are doing wedding meetings for everyone, you're organizing birthday shower and bridal shower. Next week you're organizing kasiki shower for everybody. Everybody, you are in everybody's wedding grouping meeting. Wedding group, that thing they organize on WhatsApp. WhatsApp helped me. I have to accept to enter a group. I am not in any group. I tell people, I don't have to be in the group. I'll support you on the side. So, value. Have a tight schedule. My time is limited. So, I need to allocate in the areas of my priorities. My mama always used to say, program. You know, there's people like that. You're just there to always say, hey, Brother Ken, let's go to Mpiji. You say Mpiji? Kali. To Gendi. While you are sitting in Mpiji, guy in chocolate, can you escort me to Jinja? Let's go. Then you are calling her. Also, I'm in Jinja. Ha. Tomorrow, also, I'm in Kitugum. I went to escort my friend's cousin's neighbor. Some people over-bury. You don't have to bury everyone. Uh-oh. No, there are things which are very crucial to Africans. Burial and weddings. I learned to say no to different social gatherings and made peace with it also. Now, don't be like me. I don't know how many weddings I've turned down to attend. It's not a good look. But I say, if it is one of your weddings, I'll be there. They say, everybody who is inviting you for wedding, you go. I feel like weddings take too long. This is one of those things I've prayed to God to teach me how to. I feel like someone has robbed my whole Saturday. But you can do weddings. But again, prior. So managing friendships with biblical wisdom. Let me give you some keys. Everybody say keys. Number one, intentionality over assumptions. Intentionality over assumptions. So just as we plan for important areas of our life, Meaningful friendships require deliberate cultivation. Meaningful friendships require deliberate kusalira, weeding, spraying the pests. Friendships, especially the older you grow, friendships become extremely intentional to keep healthy. Deliberately. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. When you're going to have, when you're having friendships, you must learn how to have honest conversations with your close friends about their values, life directions, mutual expectations. You know that questions ladies ask men after a while of perambulating without anything? What are we? We need to start asking it in our friendships. Brother Misach, what are we? No, it's not. It's establishing. If I know what not to expect from you, I will not be offended when you don't deliver what I didn't expect. But now you're saying, I thought you were my friend. I didn't thought we were like that. Someone else is also not thoughting. You're the only one who was. So, what are we? So you discuss what kind of friendship you want to build together. How you support each other's growth. What level of time and emotional investment are we committed to contributing? Because again, like you realize, the older you grow, your emotional capital is also not too much. You get it, eh? Have you started experiencing a depletion of emotional capital? Have you seen all those memes which go around about 30-year-olds, people in their 30s? We have suffered. They are tired, they are what? They just want to nap, you know, their knees are giving up, you know, things like that. But yeah, what level of emotional investment are we both committed to contributing? Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Clear communication about priorities, about boundaries, creates a foundation for lasting Christ-centered relationships. What are boundaries? Not these things where you have a friend and you fear to tell them. Or where you think you're friends and you tell someone and they say, excuse me, you don't have a right to talk to me like that. You were what? Thoughting. What are Number two, managing friendships with biblical wisdom. When you're seeking friendships, seek depth over small talk. Ladies, say amen. Seek depth over small talk. Healthy friendships thrive on meaningful conversations rather than surface level chatter or gossip. That's all your friendship every day. Oh, did you hear? Oh, did you see? Oh, did you smell? Oh, did you? It's. Your friendship cannot be solely established on talking about Zari. That all your conversations, that's what you share. Depth. Ephesians 4:29.
Let not corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let your conversation give grace. Let your conversation not just be small talk. I mean, the part of relationship is part of joking, but let it give grace. Minister grace to the people who are hearing you. Do you know when you start being like this, sometimes the people whom you thought are friends are going to separate themselves from you? Sir, for you are too serious. I'd rather have brother Dave. He's not so spiritual. Now, if you're in a spiritual relationship and someone is saying you're so spiritual, that's not a good spiritual friend. You rearrange your boundaries and how you see them. You can relate with them. There is a level of friendship, of relationship there, but they are not those ones you call when you're going through a tough time in your life. They just said, now imagine you're calling someone saying, I'm struggling to pray, like, go away, car. Feneno way to lead. So me, what I do when I can't pray, I just put on popcorn and I be there. God will make us. Get someone to tell you, emoji, you come. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to stand for you. Let's meet up. Let me come over to your place. Let's pray together over it. Amen. That is you seeking depth over small talk. Now, do you know? Even in a church setting, sometimes when you're looking to make relationships, there are different kinds of people. And in the church, we accept them. But if it's where you want to go, there are people whom you choose to be your friend. Closely. Hey, you want to hang around with brother A, because he's on fire. Sister C, because he's on fire. Strong relationships involve tackling real issues together. Beyond spiritual, real issues. A friend of mine, we talk about investment. You know, share values, spiritual values, but even here we meet to say, our family, this is what we're doing. This is what we're trying to do to grow our finances, our resources. You have that kind of talk. When friendships lack substantial common ground for deeper conversation, they naturally drift apart. Did you notice that? When you lack substantial ground for deeper conversation, those relationships will what? Will grow apart. So that usually just shows that the values are mismatched. Amen? The values are what? Mismatched. Number three. This one is for many of you. Wisdom in romantic relationships. Wisdom in, ladies and gentlemen, is a level where I don't expect you. Is an age where I don't expect you to be with someone to see if you can date. Whatever difference. Like, to see if you had. Now, even when we are moving into romantic relationships, ideally it should come from friendship, but it's not always what happens, right? Now, if someone has not been your friend and you look at them and you see, be intentional from the get-go. Ladies and gentlemen, again here we need to ask, what are we? Now, here, there must be intentional investment in courtship and in marriage. When you are courting, please move quickly from butterflies for kneading on one leg. I didn't do that drama. And I told my wife before, I said, I don't do drama. Now I come to you. Mbu, I need. You were surprised.
Meanwhile, you have put on your best dress.
Ngamba, how can I come to propose to you and you are shocked?
Nkasuka nempeta. Now, in the world, they can do it. In the world, they can do it because you're like, eh, chikomeko, you mean, because, yeah, there is no clarity. Tomumanyi,
you're born again. You're serving the Lord.
Someone should propose to you and you're shocked, you faint.
That relationship wasn't healthy.
In fact, if I'm a pastor, I'd say, wait. You are shocked? You are shocked?
So I told about Musa Nyakatemba. So I told, you ask, I told my wife, I'm not going to do this drama. I'll go, I'll buy you an engagement ring. You will pick it, we picked an engagement ring together. Don't, that is, believe it.
Instead of asking people, what are your views on money? What are your views on children? You are all on KFC, what you're waiting on that day. For me, I want to be proposed to in a helicopter. Oh. In courtship, ask real questions. What did you do in school? Where are your parents? What do you believe? Do you eat children at home? Yes. What are you doing? What did you study? What did you get in school? Ask real questions. Do you believe in gifts of the Spirit? Now, the spiritual ones, of course, they are here, but now I want to ask real, real questions. What are your views on work in a house? How would you feel if you ask him, how would you feel if you had to wash the dishes? I see a man telling people on social media, but I think he's a comedian, really. Sometimes I don't think he believes what he says. And that's the danger of this generation. You have very many people saying things online that they don't do. And people are following them. You are saying, Omsajja ulira, tochu sanga pampa yomwana. What level of insecurity has to possess you to find it? Let me forgive them. So, when you want to marry someone, they say this. Open your eyes well. Because when you marry them, you have to close them. Yeah, that is wisdom. I'm going to say it again. Before you marry someone or get married to someone, open up your eyes well. Because when you marry them, you'll have to close them. What it means is, look at them very carefully how they are before you say, I do. Because after you have done, you have to forbear it. You have to close. If you married a person who doesn't like to bathe, you know it happens. There are things I'm like, you know, I don't know how bathing can become spiritual warfare, but it is to some people. Me, even if I stay home the whole day, I bathe twice, religiously, every day. There are people who have battle with water. They feel like nanabi ku Wednesday. They look Sunday. You are living in the tropics. You are asking why you need to bathe. Sichitegera. Neje chidi. It's in marriage you realize that Bosco doesn't what? Like to be. Now you may first get annoyed. You throw a tantrum. But he'll tell you, water itches me.
Find out. You know, that's not a small thing to ask. What are your views on bathing?
Okay, we didn't talk about it like that, but you know, when we were talking, while we are courting, those things come by, hey, I'm going to shower. Imagine now you're doing courtship and the person has never said, let me get back to you, let me go and shower. You have never had anybody on phone say, let me first go and shower.
So guys, in courtship is about these hard things. And the broken courtship is not worse than a broken marriage. Who is this person? Where is their church? You go to their church. Talk to their pastor. Ask them, who was your pastor? Who was your disciple? Who are you accountable to? Women, I always tell you, never marry any man who is not accountable. Never. That one should be high on your list. I know you have sided with GLE. You have sided with Benz. You don't know even mechanics drive them. Start with, people think when money is there, they can forego, they can kugumira in, what is kuguma? They can harden, they can forbear anything. We know people who are in money and those scenarios, and they hate their lives. But again, they also can't live. Because in Africa, of course, there's a lot of stigma on leaving marriage, first of all. But second of all, every time the woman comes out, other women are saying, hey, mama, at least you. Do you know that thing has made many people stay in situations they don't want to? Because when they come out, they're a model. All the other young girls are looking up to. Saying, at least I'm carrying them with Benz. Gaba maziga. Amaziga gabachi. Atega rumira munda. Pain is inside. It's not on the cushion of the car. That's what people forget. They think, I'd rather suffer, you know what? If you've ever felt emotional pain, psychological pain, you know that it is different. You may think money will cover it. Hey! Selah. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Listen, and favor is better than silver or gold. So in friendships, a name. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So, this approach is mature love that prioritizes long-term compatibility over short-term feelings. And people eventually make money, guys. Ladies, don't fear. Right? Don't fear. The way you see that young man like that is not how he will be eternally. When I proposed to my wife, I even didn't have a bed. But of course, partly I also loved sleeping down. Maybe I had already gotten a bed. But I was sleeping. And I had a vision. And I had God. And I was working. Right? So, what if she said, no? Where are your keys? I said, my keys are in your heart. Priority number four. Or principle number four. Why is generosity? So this is wise. Why scripture calls believers to generous living? Biblical generosity operates within appropriate boundaries. Have boundaries in your generosity, in your friendships. You cannot sacrifice primary obligations like, you know, providing for your family, honoring your financial commitments to appear generous to others. Don't do that. That is not wise. But sometimes that thing is rooted in an insecurity where people must see me as, I always come through. In fact, people stand up. Guys, I just want to thank God for Brother Solomon.
Oh, Brother Solomon, woo, sent by God. Every time I have a need, Brother Solomon comes through. Meanwhile, sometimes Brother Solomon, now because you praised him, next time you call him, he didn't have, but he's scared. He has his money set aside, you know, for some important things to do, you give it to you because he's scared of saying no to you. That's unhealthy. But sometimes in relationship, you also tell your friends, I don't have money. Now, the phrase, I don't have money, is relative. It does not always mean I completely don't have money. Sometimes it means I don't have money to give you. Which take it.
I don't have money to what?
And it is okay. Like I said, if you have some kind of identity issues, you'll always fear, oh, what are they going to say if I don't give them all the money? Sometimes somebody can ask me for a particular amount and I give them part of that amount. That is being wise. If everybody, every time they call you asking for money, you always give them money, something is amiss. True Christian generosity flows from faithful stewardship of existing responsibilities, not from neglecting foundational duties. If someone came to me and said, Apostle, I want these nice shoes, I saw, I really want them. But because I cannot afford to be seen as not contributing, I give them money which was supposed to be for rent, part of it. That's not being wise. That's being foolish. Okay? Some people, again, like my mother will say, Mwina olugabi nkirizo. I don't even know how to translate that. Does anybody? Now, there are people who are very generous. But even people who are very generous, they need to be protected from themselves. Yeah, because they just find they give everything. Amen? So be wise in your generosity, even in friendship. Amen. Number 5, character above status. Who you are or who people are matters more than what you own or your social position. Do you know some people just try to create friendships with only people who are wealthy or influential? What a sad way. But there are people with good hearts, genuine hearts, good people. But they may not be educated as you. They may not be as influential. They may not be popular. It's not every friendship that you look at and say, "Kati go into alawa." Do you know sometimes many times people pick church like this, pick churches like this. If I join that church, I can see in 1 week I can ascend. I want the other man's business. So if I enter in his life group, I can say I have no job and they can fix me somewhere. No. Don't look for close friendships like that. Money is so powerful that it has influenced the direction of many relationships and it has killed many good relationships. Some people don't respect others because they don't have money or wealth they can give them. And it's sad. And you miss wisdom because you think, like, there are people who want to relate to you when you have money. But you can help them a lot right now, isn't it? But they are waiting for you to be minting money. You walk and they say, Brother Michael. Everything now, you say, they laugh. You know, every rich person is funny, apparently.
I thank God that he helped me. I don't try to manipulate relationships. I don't try to. I don't try to. And for me, in fact, if a relationship is going to be supernatural, many times I want it to be very supernatural even in its connection. So, character. Who are your best friends? Imagine you're a Christian today. Anybody here, if your best friend is not a serious believer, I'm not saying a church-going believer, you need to repent. Because that's already a violation. What is best about that friendship? If the number one priority of your life, which is God, you don't share it with that person. If you fear to tell your best friend that you're going to church, that you have a conference, that can't be a best friend. I'm not saying you break all those relationships, but that relationship should have already come down in what? In priority. Because I think sometimes we make a mistake. We just cut off everyone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying priority. For example, hey, brother Solo Liwa, to get into Nyuemu, because you used to drink in when you are with them. But now, when you're with the Lord, the priorities have changed. That phone call can. In fact, those are the people now you're supposed to reach and you bring into your world. Not accommodate their world. Critical warnings to avoid. These are the pitfalls, relational pitfalls. Let me go through this quickly. Time has gone. A pitfall is a hidden danger or trap that can cause problems or failure if not avoided. A pitfall is an unexpected difficulty or common mistake that people easily fall into. These are things people easily fall into in their relationships. The definition is there. Okay, number one. These are common pitfalls in relationship. Financial irresponsibility and poor self-control. Common pitfalls. Believers must not overlook serious financial recklessness or self-discipline in potential partners. Guys, financial, you must look into it. How is the person with money? How is the person also without money? Don't overlook those things. What is their self-discipline? You know, if someone gets paid and they first buy a wardrobe every time they get a salary, they just sing, when I funa sala. Like, if they just get money, they get crazy. That is a what? A red flag. Is what? For me, I like to eat my money. I've suffered. That is a red what? Ask questions about spending habits. Ask somebody, what do you spend most of your money on? Especially if a person is not paying rent. But let me just ask randomly. What do you spend most of your money on? So which money?
Okay, when you get money, what is the priority?
Think about it. What would you consider priority in your expenditure? Spending habits. Debt. People who borrow a lot. Are they in debt? Financial decision making reflects wisdom, not distrust. And asking somebody about those things is not distrust. It's just wanting to know. If your friend is always asking you for money and you know they work, a conversation with them. How do you spend your money? What do you spend your money on? If they say, good, you say, you must be ready to have an uncomfortable conversations with you, with your friends. The second pitfall is emotional-driven decision-making. Emotion-driven decision-making. Relationship choices. Now, marriage partners should be grounded in careful thought, prayer, and practical considerations rather than driven by feelings primarily. You can't be a serious Christian and the only thing you're looking at is she's brown. She's brown. She's brown. What does brown have to do with being a wife, with being a mother? Someone sang and said, "Mfunda no mubi omweru." Maybe some of these songs are the ones which have corrupted our minds. I mean, gentlemen, you need to renew your mind. Before you marry, you need to renew your mind. I've been seeing images online of women who are looking somehow. That is the image you think. And you're looking for, even when you're praying to God. Many years ago, I went for a wedding. Let me say this. Maybe I'm inappropriate. I went for a wedding in Nairobi. I was part of my friend's entourage on the line. And the bishop said, was giving a speech. I said, "You see, young men, they want to marry. They are looking for big bums." I mean, he just said it like that. He said, "That is just water." He said, "What do bums have to do with marriage?" And he was right. But we need to warn our young men because they think that's what makes a good marriage. First of all, that lady can get pregnant and change. And you know, many times men don't think about that. She can change physiologically and look like someone else. I know a lady, she got pregnant and her nose expanded from east to west. The nose looked like a tanuru. You know a tanuru? Tanuru is what in English? A kiln of bricks. Uh-huh. The skin became rough, changed, because pregnancy can do this to women. Now, won't betide a man who is only in that relationship because of how the lady looked. No other connection. You are in trouble. You are in what? You're in trouble. So, don't be emotional. If you're going to stay with someone for marriage, you must become rational. Yeah, the initial attraction may be emotion-based. But if we're going to define that relationship beyond that, then we must look at other things, the character of a person, and so on and so forth. The values of that person. Emotions have their place, but if you allow them to override wisdom in major decision, it often leads to regret and harmful consequences. Number three, misplaced ambition, pitfalls. Godly ambition should enhance rather than destroy your relationships and well-being. Pursuing goals at the expense of family connections, friendships, or personal health reflects poor stewardship of the relationship God has entrusted to you. Don't have your career and chasing the bag, like they call it, at the expense of your relationships. I've seen people chase money for their children, which children became wasted and they can't even spend it in the future. Or they waste it. So you must strike a healthy balance. It's not really a balance, it's priority. Priority. So, again, have your priorities in the right place. Toxic communication patterns is the other one. Relationships built on gossip, conspiracy thinking, or constant superficial conflict will be destructive. Believers need constructive dialogue. And when you are handling relationships among believers, please don't let your emotions dictate every conversation. Okay? Don't let you what? You know, in your service for the Lord, you can have disagreements. But you can turn a disagreement into beef with someone you're doing ministry with. So you're destroying that relationship because you are riding on the emotion more. Also, don't be toxic in your communications. And sometimes even this comes from the leaders. The way you talk to people who serve under you. Don't abuse them. Don't give them bad attitude. Okay? Be generous. Be loving. Be warm. Five? Pride and judgmental attitudes. These are common pitfalls. Guard against developing a superiority complex that leads to constant criticism or looking down on others. Superiority complex. You guys, what are you doing? This is not how you set up. For us at Hillsong, the way we would set up. Right? Sometimes there's a pride. I used to suffer this some years back, whereby I would just give up. Like you think I don't need you. If you don't want. That's, you know, prideful. It can also kill relationships. Okay. Value people regardless of their current spiritual maturity. Can I say it again? Value people regardless of their current spiritual maturity or life circumstances. Where they are. Like I said, it's easy to value maybe someone who is doing well, who has gone to school, who has finished all this, who comes to church looking good. But value people wherever they are. Like our young brother here, you value him. And if you see, you must think he's young, what can he add to me? You know, we don't need to listen to his opinion. No. You value him. Then another one is unbalanced sacrifices. Many relationships suffer this. Avoid being perpetually one-sided in either your giving or your receiving. Especially when others have capacity to contribute, but consistently choose not to. Healthy relationships require mutual investment and responsibility. Mutual. All of us have to buy in. Now, the other side of that is sometimes in relationships, some people reject being given to, right? Reject receiving. That's also a pitfall. That's also, it's a version of unbalanced sacrifice, but it's mainly rooted in pride. No. Me, I don't want anything. But you're always giving. So it has to be mutual. Amen? So it's not you that should be taking out always. You also take. Say amen. Amen. It's not you that should be called. You used to call it what? Housing. You also do what? House. Is that word still existing in slang? Okay. Sorry. I'm not saying I'm old. So don't be unbalanced. And then there's another relationship which is called a mentorship relationship. So mentorship kind of relationship is not like friendship. This one, I'll talk about this next time. Let me just stop where I've stopped because I want to give you some time. So don't be unbalanced. Don't be proud. Don't be toxic. Don't have misplaced ambition. Don't be emotion driven in your decision making, and so on and so forth. These are some of the things that are going to guide your friendships. Amen. So I want to break up or discuss briefly some questions. But I'll say this in conclusion. Strategic friendship isn't about manipulation. It's about being intentional with the relationships God places in your path. Be what? Intentional. Sending someone a message is being what? Intentional. Don't say, let them call first. Most of them, they're saying, let them call first. Be intentional in your relationship. The God places in your path. Ensuring they align with His purpose for your life and contribute to mutual spiritual growth. Praise the Lord.